Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Parkhopper John from WDWParkhoppers.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Hey, we'd like to thank you for listening, and this show is sponsored by DizWheels. DizWheels has mobility scooters, strollers, and wheelchairs starting at only $20 a day. Single stroller, double stroller, whatever you need, they will get you moving. They also have one-day rentals, and they have free delivery and free pickup. If you want more information, go visit them at www.dizwheels.com or call them at 407-501-6883 to book. And you can check them out on Facebook at facebook.com/dizwheels. That's D-I-Z wheels. See you in the parks.
And now, the Disney Parks Podcast infotainment segment.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast. I am so excited. We have a great show. We're going to be talking about the top 10 things we think that you need to consider if you are thinking about relocating to Orlando, moving to the magic, so to speak. And it's not as cut and dry as you think. It's not like moving to another job across the state. This is a major thing to consider because there's a lot that goes into relocating to Orlando. Orlando is a very unique animal, right?
I agree. It's a different place than the 9 other places I've lived.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a little different for me. I moved from Georgia to Florida, and I got spoiled a little bit because when we moved to Florida, we were living in Wesley Chapel, which is a northern suburb of Tampa. So we really didn't have to deal with the tourists all that much. Although it's one of those things where we were close enough to the water where there was a lot of tourism to deal with, but it's not like here. Right. This whole place runs on hospitality and tourism.
Right. I agree. Yeah. So
let's just go ahead and.
Yeah. We should say that, if you are going to move here, please, talk to people that live here, do a little research, just don't, take our word for what we're going to say. Make sure that you do your due diligence because I've heard some weird stories from people that have moved here, doing crazy things. So, just take your time, do some planning, do a little research, and, listen, if you're moving, especially if there's kids involved, please make sure you do the research. So,
yeah, let's start with. Oh, hang on. Before let me drop one more disclaimer. What we're going to talk about is, if you're doing the research, these are things that you should consider. Please do not think that you're going to move down and you're going to be living right across the street from the Magic Kingdom and you're going to be, going to find a house really quick and you're going to have this magical Disney experience, because it's not like that. It's a little different. Reality is different than what you see in the commercials. So I think I just want to get that. I just felt like, because I've been having conversations with people, because Tony moved down here years ago. Yeah. I lived in Davenport, which is a city that I actually live in now. I lived here a couple of years ago for a year, and now we're back permanently. We bought a house. So we have a very unique perspective and a different perspectives. But
you left and came back.
I left and came back. Just shocking. Anyway, that's the groundwork. So I apologize for interrupting, but let's go ahead and kick in with the first thing, buddy. Go ahead.
All right, number 10. If you have kids, research the schools that they're going to go to. The school system in Florida, I would call it questionable. I've heard that.
That's been nice.
Yeah, I don't have any kids in the school system right now, thank God. But people and parents that I've spoken to, kind of struggle with the school system. It is not the greatest in the world. Some schools are a little bit better than others. Some schools are a little bit worse than others. I'm not sure of a good place that you can go find this information, how schools are rated and things, but there's got to be a site out there that will give you some more information on your school district and your schools in question. that you might be living in, you know, whatever county or whatever, you know, city you'll be living in. So go check out some information on schools, because it's just, it's not like it is in other places. I can tell you that for a fact. So,
right. And there's a lot of private schools. There's a lot of religious-based schools, Christian schools, some Jewish schools, some other schools. You know, do your research, and maybe public schooling is not the thing for you. If you're homeschooling, it's not an issue. But, you know, we don't have kids yet. But I do know that the school system here is not great.
Right.
The best way to put it. So that's good. Anything else on the school system, my friend?
Nope.
Okay, cool. Number nine, and this is something that everybody has to deal with. And I make a joke a lot that the tallest mountains we have in Florida are Space, Big Thunder, and Splash. Mm-hmm. Florida is flat, and I mean flat everywhere. Now, there's a hill. I've been to the tallest hill in Florida, and I think it was elevation 200 and some odd feet. I think it went 110 feet above sea level, and that was the
tallest.
Okay,
I want you to know that the train station, I think, is like 149.
Right. It's flat, kids. I'm telling you. We live on a hill. We live on a hill, and we're like 10 miles away from the Magic Kingdom, and we can see fireworks because we're on a hill. But we don't have mountains here. I mean, legit mountains. We don't have legit mountains in Florida. Yeah. Now, you're thinking, oh, that's not a big deal. Yeah, it kind of is. Because I grew up in Ohio, which is kind of flat, but my formative years were in Georgia, and we spent a lot of time in the mountains, okay? And then one day, I drove through Illinois to go to Chicago, and I remember thinking, this place is freaking flat. That drive me crazy.
Yeah.
Now, the good news is nobody can sneak up on you because you can see them coming for 10 miles because it's so – no, I'm kidding.
But it's almost like when you're driving on the turnpike, you can see Miami.
Almost. Almost.
You see the skyline from Central Florida.
Yeah, you can get to the tallest building in Miami and you can see Tampa. No, I'm kidding. It's not that bad. But it is flat, and it's something that you have to get used to because it's a little off-putting if you grew up with hills and mountains. Yeah. But you know what? It's for some people, it's great.
Yeah. And when we say flat, you know, we're a peninsula. We're not, you know, part of... You know, with a little dongle off of the United States, to put it nicely.
The dongle.
With a little goes into part of the United States.
Exactly. We're slot. We're
slot A.
A.
You know, so just think of that. If you're going to live in Central Florida, Orlando, where John and I live, another thing is you have... You're not really close to the beach, but, you know, there's a beach on both sides. You know, Central Florida is that. It's in the middle. So, you know, we can go to Clearwater off to the left, or we can go to, you know, Merritt Island or Cocoa Beach off to the right.
Right.
So, you know, you're kind of in the middle. So you're, you know, not going to be sitting at the beach every day because you're going to have to drive like 30 minutes, 40 minutes to get to a beach in either direction. So.
Right. And, you know, that really also comes into play. You have to remember that since we're an hour pretty much from where we're at, where I'm at, it's like an hour and a half to the beach. You're like an hour to the Atlantic Ocean. I'm a little closer to the Gulf Coast. So I'm like an hour and a half to the Gulf Coast. So I'm like really in the center. I'm very close to Disney. I'm very in the center.
Yeah.
If a hurricane comes up the Gulf Coast, I'm going to get smacked. If the hurricane comes up the Atlantic Coast, I'm going to get smacked. You have to factor in the fact that, you know, we're going to talk about weather in a bit, but you have to factor where you're at. You're not going to wake up every morning and see the ocean unless you live by the ocean, but you're not going to be living near Disney, living at the ocean.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So.
Okay. So that brings us to something else that you're going to have to get used to if you live in Florida. We raise big bugs here in Florida, big, gnarly bugs. We have alligators in Florida. We have poisonous and non-poisonous snakes in abundance here in Florida. And then we have other wildlife that you have to deal with. We have
geckos all over the place. Love bugs.
Geckos. There's little lizards everywhere, and if your children are afraid of little lizards, this is not going to be the.
I'm afraid of little lizards.
You are kidding me.
No, I don't like them.
But you're afraid of them?
I'm not going to be afraid of them. I just
should
don't like
not
them.
Have told me that, because it's going to be hell for the rest of your life. I'm just saying.
I'm not afraid of them. I just don't like them. I'll say that.
Ladies and gentlemen, the podcast, he said, I'm afraid of.
I misspoke.
Okay. All right. I gotcha, Mr. Trump. So we have bugs down here. We have we used to call them palmetto bugs, but they're roaches. We have big roaches here. Killed one the other night in the house. Big roach. Yeah. There's nothing you can do. You can spray. You can do all those things, and they'll still figure out a way to get in your house. They're just down here. And I'm not making light of this.
That's why I have an exterminator.
That's right. Well, I have an exterminator too, but they still figure out a way to get in the house. We have alligators. You know, we had that tragedy a few months ago at Walt Disney World. And while you may think that was holy cow, that's really uncommon. Yeah, it is uncommon for there to be an alligator attack, because most people do not get in the lake and hang out. Mm-hmm. If you live near a body of water, like a lake or a river.
Or retention pond.
Yeah, that does not mean that you can go swim in it every day, because there's probably going to be snakes and gators in the retention pond. If there's a big body of water near your house in Florida, odds are there is at least one gator in that pond, and you have to think like that. We have that's why a lot of people in Florida have swimming pools, and you still have to look in the swimming pool before you jump in it, because it's not uncommon for your swimming pool to have a gator sneak in and jump into it. It happens. You just call animal control and they'll come get the nuisance animal and take it somewhere safe, you know, for the animal, not you. The other thing you have to deal with is wildlife that is protected. Gators are protected. Manatees are protected. You know, if you're at the Gulf Coast and you're swimming in the beach and you see something big swim by, it's probably a manatee. They leave humans alone, but they're out there.
Or a shark.
Could be a shark. Yeah, I didn't even want to go there. But yeah, we have sharks in the water. There's always sharks off the coast on the Atlantic side. And there's been a rise in sharks. So you have to factor all that in if you're going to come to the beach and go swimming and live here. Right. Because if you're on vacation, the odds are really, really high that nothing's going to happen. But if you live here and you're doing it all the time, your odds are going to go down and your possibility of something happening are going to go up. Be realistic.
And Disney does a great job, or a pretty good job, at keeping most of these things at bay. You know, I've seen their pest control trucks driving around property. I know they, you know, have a gator program, and they have feral cats that keep rats and other things off property. So they, you know, they're at this, you know, full time, you know, trying to, you know, keep all these things at bay. And that's why when you go to the parks, you don't see any of those things. It's a magical place, a magical experience. But you don't have all that at your house.
Right. Yeah.
So you've got to do your own maintenance on those things.
Yes.
All right. Next on the list is Orlando is a giant melting pot of society. You know, my joke is, well, nobody's really from Orlando. If you find somebody that's born, bred, and raised here and has never left the area, they're a rare breed. You're not going to find them all over the place. It's, you know, everybody's from somewhere else. Everybody has moved here. This is, you know, there's different cultures and people. There's people from, you know, Cuba and Puerto Rico, and there's people from Brazil. There's people from, you know, I've met people from all parts of the world here.
Right. Mexico.
Mexico.
Europe, Asia.
Yeah. And from then different states all throughout the United States, Iowa and Nebraska and all these places. So nobody's really from Orlando. And that is a little bit different. I mean, you know, when you go to, say, local stores, like, say, the local Publix, a lot of the people there may speak Spanish. I know they sometimes start speaking Spanish to me, and I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. English, and they'll, you know, then they'll, you know, flip on their English. So, you know, that's another thing, you know, that you have to get used to. And there's really not, you know, in some places like New York City, you know, there's different communities that have different, you know, cultures. All the Italians are over here. All the, you know, the Asians are living in Chinatown, you know, and that kind of, there's none of that really here. It's all kind of a mix and a blend. It's, you know, just a giant swirl of, you know, humanity.
Right. You just have to get really comfortable with not always being the majority.
Yeah.
And, you know, for some people, that's really difficult. And it takes a little getting used to be honest with you. And that's why when you're local, you try to make friends as quickly as you can and get to know people. You know, knowing the people at your grocery store is important because there's never going to be the same people visiting your grocery store. It's always going to be different people. But as long as you like, hey, there's Susie and she's the checkout girl. And, you know, there's Tim, he's the manager. And there's this guy, you have a point of reference. And I know that sounds really crazy, but that's one of the things that, you know, I wasn't prepared for when we moved over here the first time. We moved over here the first time because I got freaked out. At one point, I just remember freaking out one night because it's like, I don't know anybody. In the every time I go to the grocery store, somebody new. And I hadn't really reached out to the people that I was purchasing from. This time it's been a little different. We've already been laying down some foundations. So that's been pretty cool. But you do need to realize that there ain't a lot of people from around here. And it's always something different. And we'll talk about that here in just a little bit.
Yeah.
The other thing that you have to get used to, and it's not just here in Orlando, it's kind of statewide, is the joke is Florida is God's waiting room. We have a couple different things that happen. One, you have people who are very mature who live here full time. Mm-hmm. A lot of older people live here in Florida. And then during the winter, you have what we call snowbirds. The entire state has an influx of people from the north coming to get away from the cold, blustery winters of the north. And so they just come down here. So you'll have a lot of vacation homes that have nobody in them when you move in. And then 6 months later, when it's winter, you're like, hey, who are you? I'm your neighbor. I'm a snowbird. Holy crap. You know, you just have to get used to that. And you also have to get used to what that means. They tend to drive slower. They tend to not maybe be as good of drivers. So you know that for several months throughout the winter time, you have to really be driving on point. If you have kids, you have to make sure that they understand. It's not that you're a bad driver. The people around you might not be able to make quick decisions. So you have to gauge that. And you just have to get used to the fact that, you know, you're going to be surrounded by a lot of people who are old and older than you. Yeah, than you. And if that's a problem, you find a newer place to live.
Yeah.
In Orlando.
Yeah. Like not in the villages. Right, actually.
Yeah.
A lot of people come to Florida to retire.
Right.
So
I don't blame them.
You know, it's where people come to, you know, wait for their ticket to be punched, and that's that, you know.
that's why Tony's here. Tony's living in his death house. That's the house.
That's what I call it. She get a plaque and put it on the front door. Death house.
Welcome to the death house, ladies and gentlemen.
Come to the dead center of the house, please.
Welcome, foolish mortals, to Tony's death house.
Hey, number four is, hey, I don't want to shock you, but this is a world-class destination, and we have a lot of tourists.
What?
A lot.
What?
Okay. I heard on the news today that Orlando International Airport now gets over 60 million visitors a year. And it was only built for 20 million. And that is why they're doing an expansion.
Yay, finally.
For the last 6 years, and that's how many years I've lived here, they said that what did it go up? It went up 20% each year. So we live in a tourist destination. So if you don't like tourists, and you don't like this always influx of community, then, you know, you need to, you know, figure out, Maybe you want to live in a different place in Florida than Central Florida. If you're coming here because you want to work at Disney, you want to work at SeaWorld, you want to work at one of those places in the hospitality industry, yes, this is a great place to find a hospitality job. But you're going to have to deal with, in your daily life, tourists because they are all over. You have to drive very defensively because when they're in the left-hand lane and their GPS tells them to get off, they're going three lanes right across without a blinker. And I've seen it many, many times, just right off the road. I've seen them. I live right by the airport, and I'll see them coming from the airport, no lights on because they're in their rental car and they don't know how to turn on the lights yet, or they haven't found the switch, or they don't even know that they're not on. So there are a lot of tourists, and just think about that. Do you want to live in a place where there's always an influx of people?
Yeah, and you also have to factor in where you live. So if you want to work at Disney or Universal, there's a very narrow corridor in which you can live and work. Because unless you don't mind driving a while, like Tony lives out by the airport, which is about a 25-minute ride from downtown Walt Disney World. Down the center of Walt Disney World is about 25 minutes to the airport, give or take, depending on
where you're. Make it in 12.
Huh?
I can make it in 12.
Yeah, I know you can, but most people don't drive like a bat out of hell, which, by the way, most of those people who are driving crazy are from New York and New Jersey, or Tony. If you dial up an Uber and Tony shows up, just cancel
Buckle
the ride.
Up, my friend.
Just cancel the ride and find somebody else. Buckle Take up, your life friend. In your hands, kids, I'm just saying. And I'm not saying that he's removed from it, because there's a lot of tourists out there, but let me put it to you like this. I live 10 minutes to Animal Kingdom Lodge, or Animal Kingdom, depending on which one you want to go. And I live off of, a couple of miles away from 192. 192 should sound familiar. Earl Bronson Highway, which is pretty much where everybody stays if you're not staying on Disney property, because it's just hotel after hotel. And when we go shopping, there's a ton of people from other places. And when we go to dinner, there's a ton of people from other places. When we go anywhere, there's a ton of people from other places. And it can be very overwhelming if you let it. If you know that going in, you can deal with it better. The problem comes in when you're dealing with countries that, if you're dealing with people from other countries that don't necessarily have the same ideas of like rudeness. Beijing. I was getting there. Rudeness, personal space, hygiene. You start dealing with some of those issues, and it can be very interesting. And here's what you have to tell yourself. Okay, this is what – I don't know about Tony, but I can only speak for me and my house. We pay federal income taxes. We do not pay state income taxes. The reason that we don't pay state income taxes is because you lovely people who come and visit the great state of Florida. I love you people, because if you stop coming, I have to start paying taxes, and paying taxes suck. So I try to keep that in mind, and I try to give them a wide berth. But there are times when I'm in line and I've got 13 Brazilians in front of me, and I got 32 Brazilians behind me, and they're all talking to each other because they're all on the same bus, and they're all passing stuff back and forth, and they're all, you just literally have to just like take a moment and breathe deeply if you can. But that's, you have to get used to that. That is a way of life here. It's something to deal with. It's you just deal with it.
Yep.
Okay. If you have the dream to work at Disney, I highly encourage you to follow your dream. If you think working at Disney is like when you visit Disney and you like to help people around the park and you like to be all funny and you're kind of like the tour guide, if you think that's what your job's going to be like, you are sadly, sadly mistaken, my friend.
Yep.
Disney is a great place to visit. For me personally, it is not a place that I choose to work. Disney as a company, Disney as a business, they don't always do things that make jobs easy. It's very demanding. There's a reason that there's a high dropout rate from the college program. A lot of people in the college program do not stay. They go back home. It's hard work. If you ever get a chance, ask your cast member where they parked.
Yeah.
So just stop and think about this. If the cast member is working at Disney Springs, they're not parking in the parking deck at Disney Springs. They're parking about a mile away. They're crossing over, you know, Buena Vista Boulevard to get to their car. They're hopping on a bus to be taken, not a Disney bus, by the way, right, a cast member bus, which has no frills, and I'm not sure it has air conditioning. They're getting carted somewhere else. Their life is great if you love Disney, but it's not easy. It's not the easiest job in the world. Because remember, when you're visiting, you can stop what you're doing and go into air conditioning. People who work for Disney are standing a lot for a long period of time. They're in the heat. They're in the weather. They have to be nice, independent of how much of a meltdown the guest is having. It's not the easiest gig in the world. Working at Disney is not like visiting Disney. And just know that going in.
Yep. It's tough. I've done it before. And, you know, I've spoken about it, you know, on this podcast many times. And I did security. And, you know, you either walked, you either stood in a little booth, or you drove around the parking lot, or you drove around property. And, yeah, you know, sometimes they ask you to stay longer. They come in earlier. You know, it's, you know, things vary at Disney, you know, depending on the guests. They may say, hey, can you come in, you know, a couple hours early? Hey, you know, we need you to stay a couple hours later. So you know, you have to be a little flexible. If you're not flexible, then it's really not for you, because Disney's, you know, looking for somebody that can be flexible. And like John said, you know, a lot of times I was outside in the elements, whether it was rain or cold or sweltering heat of summer. And I will tell you, their costumes are main ingredient is polyester, and polyester really does not breathe very well. So it can get very sweaty in that, you know, polyester costume. You know, EPCOT stands for Experimental Polyester Costume of Torture. So,
and for the regular cast members, the pay is not always great.
Yeah, the pay is not terrific. You know, they pay above minimum wage. Yes, they do. But still, you know, it's I think I was reading it's about $9.10 an hour, I think, now. So, you know, is that enough money to, you know, make a living? You know, you're going to have to go get another job. And I know there's plenty of cast members that have two jobs. They work at, you know, Disney and Universal, or Disney and SeaWorld. So, you know, be prepared to do that too. It's very tough. It's very tough.
Yeah. Don't forget that, don't most cast members have to be trained on three separate things, because you're not always working the same position, the same thing every day?
I'm not sure about that anymore. Usually, you know, if you're working merchandising, you're working attractions, You may have to know one or two different attractions or one or two merchandise locations. That may be possible. For security, you know, it's, like I said, it was the, you know, the three rotation of the different things, you know, walk, sit, stand, or drive.
Gotcha.
So maybe that was our three things, you know, that we had to know how to do. So, yeah, it's not for everybody. And Universal, I don't think, is any different. I don't, you know, I haven't worked there. I can't speak to it, you know, from experience. But, you know, it's probably pretty much the same. There's outside jobs. There's inside jobs. There's jobs standing out in the sun all day. You know, it's the same kind of, you know, thing. It's not, yeah, you know, any different over there.
You know, that's, you know, just to sum it up, I mean, if working at Disney is your, and you're hell bent for leather, that's your end all be all, you have to work for Disney, please go be there for it. Yeah. You're probably going to be one of the greatest cast members ever. But if you're, if you just want to be near the magic, find something else to do that you can, you know, yeah, like I do a lot of different things. And one of the things that I do kind of part-time on occasion is Uber. I only Uber Disney, Universal, and iDrive, which is International Drive, which is a tourist area. I try not to go downtown if I can help it. I try not to do all that much outside of that because I like dealing with tourists in that specific genre. Right. I would not want to be a bus driver for Disney.
Yeah.
There's the distinction. At the end of my day, I go home and I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to answer to Disney and I don't have to deal with that. I don't have to get paid crap. I don't have to deal with screaming people. You know,
I don't know if I could drive that slow.
Yeah,
no kidding. I really don't. I don't know if I could go 25 miles an hour, 8 hours every day. I really don't think I could do it.
Yeah.
I would so much. I'm like, why do you even have a gas pedal? Just make it go.
That's right. Give me go and a stop pedal. That's all I need.
Yeah. Just go. And then I'll hit the other thing when I need to.
That's right.
You know, I mean, back in the day, the bus drivers used to tell jokes and have trivia and, you know, do all kinds of fun things. And now it's, you know, for your safety that all those things have gone away. So, all right, let's get on to number two. Number two is the weather. Can you handle the weather? And I will tell you this. When people said to me, hey, it gets hot in Florida, I really didn't know really how hot they meant. And it can get very, very hot. You know, the feels like during the summer can get up to like 105, you know, 104, 103, 105. It can get pretty crazy, you know, during the summer on how hot and humid. Right now, my gauge is telling me it's 94 outside and still 50% humidity. And that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's fun.
This now, is September 27th.
September 27th, people are walking around the Magic Kingdom in Halloween costumes, sweating their balls off. I mean, it's crazy. It's so crazy.
Yeah. Now, I always tell people this. If you live in the north or a place that it gets cold and snowy, usually during the winter, you kind of have this little hibernation thing. You know, you really don't go out a lot. You know, you do indoor things because it's cold and it's snowy and it's damp and you don't want to be outside. So you have a hibernation. Well, we do that during the summer down here. At least I do. I don't go out to the parks during the summer because it's just too hot. So I kind of hibernate during the June, July, August and good part of September. And then I'll come out for, you know, food and wine. And October gets a little cooler. And November gets a little cooler. I think my favorite months are like December, January, and February when it's, you know, never really gets above 74, 75-ish. Right. And sometimes it can even get down to 40 at night here. And even down to 32, freezing, we've had times. So, but that doesn't bother me. I'm in shorts all year round.
Yeah, same here.
I'm in shorts all year round. I have a sweatshirt jacket, and that is as big of a jacket as I will wear.
Yeah,
I've seen people in Florida in the parks with a down jacket on, and I'm like, oh, my God, you have to be sweating in there. What are you doing with the down? It is not that cold that you need a down jacket.
Well, the thing is some people get acclimated to the heat, and we talk about being thin-skinned.
Well, I've heard really that your blood thins.
Yeah.
And that makes you, maybe it hasn't happened for me yet.
Yeah. I used to be able to like, I could deal with a cold and blah, 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 blah. I get in the 60s. It's like, I need a jacket. It's kind of cold. You know, in the low 70s, I was like, I'm getting a little chilly. This is kind of nice. And then when it gets like 65, I'm like, I think I'm going to put an overshirt on because it's, you know, that's how I deal with it, you know? But it's not just the heat you have to deal with either. Because there's other weather anomalies that we have to deal with.
Oh, yeah. There's rain, and I'm talking serious rain. I'm not talking like little twinkles, sprinkle, sprinkle. I'm not talking twinkle, twinkle, sprinkle, sprinkle. I'm talking deluge.
Right.
I'm talking it can rain, you know, 1 to 2 inches in an hour.
Often.
Yeah. There's a time I was in the Magic Kingdom on Main Street. And actually, Main Street flooded. Mm-hmm. There was actually water, like, breaking over the curb.
Yeah.
That's how much rain it came down all at one time. So we could rain mad crazy here.
Yeah, we visited the parks one time like that, and it was crappy.
There was just pictures on the internet from yesterday where trees went down and tables were flipped over from food and wine. They had shut down most of the booths at the marketplaces because of the rain. They just, you know, they couldn't keep the food dry. So there's things like that. There's also hurricane season. You know, that goes from like, I don't know, like June, August to November or something.
I think it's June to
November. November. I know it ends in November.
Yeah.
So it goes, you know, that's like what, 6 months? It's a long hurricane season, you know, and they track everything, you know, that blows off up off the coast.
Yeah, you have to get, and this is going to sound weird. So if you live up north, you're going to be like, what the hell are you talking about? You have to get very comfortable with the concept of at any moment you could die. And I know it sounds crazy.
I don't know, maybe die, but.
Well, here's the thing.
Jeopardy.
Anytime during hurricane season, a hurricane could hit. But you have flooding. You have a lot of flooding. You have rain. You have all sorts of things that could happen. And you have high winds. You know, and when I'm not talking about like, I'm talking about you hear your house creaking and trees are bent over like that. It's not often.
Yeah, it's not.
But it is something you have to deal with. You have to kind of get comfortable with that. But you have to also know where the evacuation routes are. You have to have food.
Supplies.
You have to understand that you have to store water. You have to store food because you lose power. Power goes out here
a lot.
And we'll have like rainstorms that are like, it'll rain really, really hard for like an hour and then it'll clear up and it'll be fine. And that happens a lot during the summer, and especially in the spring. It's like every day, like at 5 o'clock, it rains for like 15 minutes and then it's just muggy. You know, you just have to get used to that. You have to get used to the concept of hurricane season. You have to get used to rain. You have to get used to heat. And then there's those rare cases when it gets like super cold, like the 2 days out of the year, it gets, you know, in the 30s.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing I'll say too is, you know, from living in New Jersey, I can predict the weather by what was happening, say, in Ohio and Pennsylvania, because the weather kind of comes across. You know, it goes from west to east, and you can say, oh, it's snowing, it's going to come to us. In Florida, being the dongle that we are, the peninsula, we get weather that comes from the south, we get weather that comes from the north, we get weather that comes from the west, we get weather that comes from the east. It can come from anywhere. And, you know, when you look at the weather map, you'll see, you know, the cold is coming down this way, or the wind is blowing up this way, or the wind is going this way, or the wind is now coming this way. So it comes from any direction. Right. You know, living in places like I said, New Jersey, you always knew the weather was going west to east.
Right.
And that's, you know, the way the weather, you know, that was the jet stream.
And then
taking the weather. But we're not in that jet stream. We're
right.
That dongle. Right.
And then finally, as if that wasn't scary enough, Vince in the chat room brings out a great point. I just moved from Tampa. Tampa's hockey team is called the Lightning. It's not because they're fast. It's because Tampa is the lightning capital of the world.
Yeah.
I was home yesterday as we recorded this. It was Monday, the 26th, I think. And for about 2 hours, both of the dogs were literally under me because there was a big storm, big booms of thunder, a couple lightning strikes within miles of here. And it was scary. Power went out. So you do have to deal with lightning. Now we're painting a very, very negative bleak picture. Nine times out of 10, your days here in Florida are great.
But yeah, on blue skies. 10th,
but on that 10th day, it is a beast.
Yeah. I will say this too. The other thing that was hard for me to get used to was sitting in my home office, looking out the window and seeing a blue sky for weeks at a time and going, why am I not outside? Why am I in here again?
Right. And that's a great point.
Why could I not be out there?
If you have a house with a pool and you work from home, like Tony and I do, it's very difficult. You have to focus.
Yeah.
you know, it's really easy to call in sick to work when you can see the Magic Kingdom from your house. You know, you have to really stop and go, oh yeah, I got to go to work today. I mean, my wife, I love my wife. She works in one of the hotels across the street from Disney Springs. Yeah. She drives to Disney every day and she's got to focus on work. And, you know, when you go outside and you see big sunshiny skies with big Simpsons clouds, that's, it's sounds crazy, but it really is one of those things that you have to get used to.
Yep.
You have to get used to that. And the last thing is, the affordability of living in Florida. You have to really start weighing if the amount of money that you make in your job is going to cover the cost. Things are expensive, a little bit more expensive here in Florida, Orlando, mainly because guess what? It's a tourist destination. And what do we like to do to tourists? Raise the prices.
Yep.
So you have to deal with that. You have to deal with when you go to the grocery store, when you're at your original place and you go to the grocery store and you spend $100 and you come home with 25 bags of groceries, and then you go to a grocery store and get the same amount of stuff, you know, and instead of it being 20 bags for $100, you're getting 20 bags for $175. You have to get used to that. You learn how to bargain shop, you learn how to use Amazon, and you learn how to, you know, shop around and coupon and all those things, or you just manage it better. You know, you have to deal with that. And because we're a tourist destination, you know, going out to eat is not the same. You know, go out to eat, you're dealing with tourists and tourist pricing. You know, if you go somewhere in a hotel, you know, do you have to pay to park? Do you have to pay to valet? Do you have to, you know, you have to deal with all those things. It's not just like, hey, let's go run down to the Western Sizzler and go grab some food. I mean, we do have a Western Sizzler down the road, but, you know, you have certain things that you have to process through financially. And like we said, working at Disney, working at Universal, they're not the highest paying gigs in the world, unless you're, you know, upper management, of course, but you know, it's not like, hey, you're going to move to Disney, you're going to make $1 million, you're going to never have to worry about anything again, you're working the dream job, and you know, that's my take on it. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. I was lucky. You know, I work from home, I work for a software company, so I was able to move and keep my nice inflated New Jersey cost of living salary and move to Florida. So I was lucky in that way. The other thing, you know, John didn't mention is, you know, when we talked about we don't have any tax in the state, you know, gas is higher because there's a higher tax on it. That's how they collect money from us. And almost all the roads in the area are toll roads. And there's a lot of toll roads. Now, you don't have to get on the toll road, but you're going to be sitting on some street like, you know, Orange Blossom Trail, and there's going to be a light every 50 feet. And it'll take you 10 times as longer to get somewhere than it would if you were to get on, say, you know, 417 or 535 to go to Disney.
Right. It's so, going to cost you time or money. Those are the two things, time or money.
Right. So, you know, you pick which one you can tolerate. You know, and it's not going to be, you know, I'm not saying it's going to be a lot, but I think for my house, it's $3 in tolls each way to Disney. So that's $6 just to, you know, get to the Magic Kingdom every day. If I went there every day.
Yeah, not counting gas.
Yeah. We also live in Florida, and I will tell you that everything in your house runs on electricity, including your stove. We don't have – I've not met anybody yet that has a gas stove. I don't know if they even sell or even a gas stove exists in Florida.
They do. They're just in really expensive houses.
Yeah. So – you know, that means everything is running off electricity, your air conditioning, your lights, your stove, everything. So electricity, I think I know in Florida, it is way more expensive. It's like almost double than it was in Pennsylvania. So things like that are obviously a cost.
And not to just electricity, but insurance.
Yeah.
Housing insurance is difficult because we have wind damage, we have hurricane damage, we have
lightning damage. You need a special rider for the hurricane insurance.
riders for all that stuff because
you ride up for the flooding insurance,
right? And because you live in Florida, you have a lot of uninsured drivers here in Florida. Yep. Your auto insurance is a little bit more expensive.
Yep, definitely.
All these things you have to factor in and financial. If you're thinking about moving down here financially,
and if we go back to number 10, you're probably sending your kid to a private school, so then you have private school costs. Or you have some other costs to go with that. So you have to consider all those things. You know, do the analysis, sit down. This is what we make today. This is what we spent today. This is our budget. You know, if I move to Florida, will I get a job? And I will tell you this, the job market is tight down here in Florida. It's not, if you're in the hospitality and you're willing to take an hourly job, that's probably easier. If you're in a management position or a director or, some other higher up position, that may not be too bad. If you're coming down here to retire, know what you have for, your monthly expenditures and, how much you're going to get each month from your 401k or whatever you've saved for your retirement. And can you, handle the costs that will be down here? So,
and, we're painting this picture so you can, because we hear a lot of times, oh my gosh, you guys are living the dream. And yeah, we do. I mean, I live closer to Disney than Tony does. I can see fireworks every night. In fact, if I probably pull this thing out of my ear, I could probably hear the fireworks because it's about that time. And it's incredible. But there's a price to pay. And, we knew certain things when we moved back that we didn't know when we moved out here. And the reason that this show is important is because we wanted to let you know, a lot of people think, I don't want to move down to Disney. I want to move down to Orlando and blah, blah, blah. And it's so great. And it is great. It's amazing. Because Orlando is a tourist town, we've got things that you can't do anywhere else. We've got amazing attractions. We've got incredible dining. We've got Disney, Universal, SeaWorld, Busch Gardens, and all that stuff is right there. We've got two sides of the state surrounded by water. And if you want the Atlantic coast, you can go over there and it's great. And it's, surfing and big waves and all that stuff. And you go over to the Gulf Coast and it's calm waters. It's beautiful, amazing sunsets on the Gulf Coast, amazing sunrises on the Atlantic coast. We've got Daytona's not that far away. We've got amazing things here. Living in Orlando, living in Florida is truly incredible. But don't think that it's all fun and games and Mickey Mouse ears. Do your research. Be smart. Ask a lot of questions. Reach out to Tony and me if you want to, DisneyParkPodcast@gmail.com. And don't let the excitement of moving to near Disney blind you to some things that are real. Because once you're here, once you relocate, once you bring your kids down, you're stuck. Well, no, it's like you can always move somewhere else. But it's once you're here, you're like, holy cow, it's not exactly what we thought. So just be aware. Knowing is half the battle, what G.I. Joe says.
Yeah. Remember this. If you're not coming down here to retire, you're going to still have a job. And you're going to have to go to work every day so that you can go then play in the Magic Kingdom. Those things happen, Unless, of course, your job is that you're working in the Magic Kingdom, and then you don't have to worry about it. You'll be there every day.
Right.
But I always tell people, you still are going to have to go to work somewhere. And that all depends on where. Whether it's going to be in the Magic Kingdom or outside the Magic Kingdom, you have a job, unless you're coming here to retire, and then you don't have to worry about those things.
And on one final note, if I could just throw this out there, and we can edit this out if we really want to. If you think you're going to come down here and you're going to live the Mongello life, or if you think Tony and I are living this incredible life because we're Disney bloggers and podcasters, don't. You can't swing a dead cat and not hit 100 people who have blogs and podcasts, and every idea is the coolest idea. We've got plenty of bloggers here. There's other things you can write and video about. This is not that anymore. Maybe 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, maybe.
Yeah,
not anymore. It's too easy. Just
I agree.
Throw that out there. Just want to throw that out there.
Yep. It's Yeah, I mean, every time something opens, a restaurant, a park, an attraction, who are the first people there? Bloggers.
Bloggers.
Bloggers podcast. And podcasters.
Yeah, travel first guys. Was there.
Yeah. I went to, I'll tell the quick story. I went to the Nomad Lounge over, you know, Tiffin's, over in the Animal Kingdom. I walk in the door. Who's sitting on the side? Seven other bloggers. It was like a blog. Yeah, it was like a blogger convention. It was a blogger convention.
Florida BlogCon.
Yeah, exactly. Which was this past weekend.
So, oh, dang, I missed it.
Yeah. Dadgum. Yeah. So, oh, well. You know, I'm not saying don't come here. Just do your homework and do your research. And like John said, you know, if you want to reach out to us, you know, I've helped people move down here. I've given them, you know, I have a really good realtor who has his hands in a lot of things like the Medical City and Lake Nona board. You know, if you're looking for somebody, a real estate guy that's been around a long time and can give you some advice and tell you good places and bad places. Well, they really can't tell you good place and bad place, but can help you make the correct selection in where you want to live and things like that. And we've been around the block. We can help you, you know, some things too. You know, I've sent people apartment guides, you know, that you pick up at the Walmart and the Target and the whatever, you know, to send to people so they can look for apartments and things like that. And we know some of the nicer places around the area to, if you don't want to set up your tent pole and pitch a tent here. So.
And we're all about pitching tents here in Florida.
Oh, yeah. As long as it's got air conditioning. My idea of camping is a Marriott Courtyard. That's as low as I'll go.
There you go. There so. You go.
All right, kiddies. We want to say, hey, thanks for listening. We hope that some of this was helpful. We'd love to see you all move down here. This way we don't have to do this podcast. We could just have a meetup every week. But if you're all going to come here, just take a listen. See what you think, you know. That's it. You want to find us? We're at Twitter at Disney Podcaster. We're on Facebook at Facebook/Disney Parks Podcast. And check us out on the internets at DisneyParksPodcast.com. Check out our sponsors, our shows, our blogs, all the stuff that we post up there is all there for you to wait. Don't forget to check out our giveaway we're giving away this week. And if you can, if you're coming down, we have some meetups coming up in October and November, and we hope to see you in the parks.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc., are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through one reach upon the stars.